Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning and welcome as we are continuing our second week of our series entitled Family Matters. And as you can tell, there's pictures of my family in there, and they are some of the main characters in this four-week series. And I'll tell you this, last week, they started off this series with a bang. So last week during second service, we have what's called our green room for our kids, for all the people who serve in first service. That way the kids are not in kids' life. Two sessions and don't drive the teachers crazy. So we throw them in the green room, which is more of a kind of a hangout room for them. They get to watch TV. They get to hang out with friends. And sometimes they even go outside and play. Well, last week, as we start this series, and I talk about disciplining your kids, and I talk about the level of affection that you need to show your kids, my two kids decided to go back in the green room, and my son decided to throw my daughter through the wall, like literally through the wall. Like, there's a hole in the drywall. So just say, like, this is how this series starts out for me. And as I'm talking about family, as I'm talking about family relationships, as I'm talking about parenting, please know we are not perfect. Like, we are in it with you. There's times where we are a hot mess just like you as well, and that we do put holes through walls. So, and at a church, nonetheless, right? So this is just kind of that fun thing as far as families, because when we have families, there's some things that come up. Like, family is one of those unique relationships that we have in our life that we actually don't get to choose, right? So our families are automatically placed there for us by God, and that's what, it's a unique thing. It's a great thing as well. It's what makes family super important. What's really what makes family great, because at the end of the day, they still are family, regardless of what they've done, regardless of what they've said. And a lot of times you can even allow family, and because family's in there already, family can speak into your lives a little more so than other people can. So that's one of the great things about it, but that's also one of the bad things about it, right? Let's just be honest. Because of that, because of that, we don't get to choose our family, because there are these unique relationships, there's also some issues. There's also some tension. There's also some struggles. There's also some fighting that goes on within our family, right? There's these family matters. And what we're doing through this series is we're talking about how to deal with these family matters, because family matters. I think a lot of times in our lives, what we do is we like to pretend that our relationships, we like to pretend that our marriages, we like to pretend that even in our singleness or in our parenting, we like to pretend that we're doing just fine. But the reality of it is there's some dysfunction. The reality of it is there's some kids getting thrown through walls, right? There's the reality of it. There's some work that needs to be done. There's some things that we need to deal with. And again, the goal of this series is to really address these issues and to challenge us and really even equip us to grow in these issues as well. And this really can only begin and happen when we stop pretending, when we get honest, and we have the courage to change and to face these dysfunctions, to face these family matters. Again, because family matters. Now, again, if you remember last week, we started off this series with the big idea, the strength of our family relationships are tied to the strength of affection combined with discipline. And what we're getting that from is we're getting that from a guy named David in the Bible. So what we're doing through this series is we're looking at David in the Bible. And again, we've heard of David. We've heard about how great he is, how he's conquered many battles, how he beat Goliath. But we're looking at a little bit different side of David. See, David wasn't the best family man. David wasn't the best father. He wasn't the best husband. And we're really looking at some of these failures of David. And what we're doing is we're looking at these failures and applying them to our lives, really relating them to our lives, because we've had many of these same failures as well. But what we're going to do is we're going to learn from them. So today we're going to jump in and we're going to look at some guardrails and boundaries that we need to put in our lives and in our family relationships. We're going to look at some of these systems that David put in his life after his failures. So to start off, let me just ask you a quick question. How many of you have ever had some rules or regulations placed on you before, right? Anybody have some rules or regulations? Okay. We all have had rules and regulations placed, like every one of us, right? Now here's the really quick question. Here's the one. How many of you are rule followers? You would say you're a rule follower. Okay. I fall in the category of a rule follower. Like, if there's a rule, I'm going to do it. Now, my wife falls in the category of a rule breaker. Like, she thinks those are just like, you know, they're put there, you know, not really as a law, but really just a recommendation, right? That's what she calls them, recommendations, not rules. Now, we all have rules, right, that we have to follow. Like, so we have to follow the rules of speed limits. So, but for my wife, when it says 65, she actually thinks that reads 73. Like, I think somewhere along the lines, her eyesight gets different, and she's like 73. Now, I know there's some of you guys like that too. Like, I'm the 65 person, right? So I'm the person that you 73 people can't stand. Like, we're driving in the car, my kids are like, yeah, daddy's the safe driver. He drives slow, and we're going to get there safely. Mommy's the crazy driver, right? She's the one that passes and rides up on people. That's who she is, because she's sometimes not necessarily a rule follower. She's a recommendation type of person. I think the truth is there's a lot of times in our life where we look at rules and guidelines and these boundaries as things that really hinder us as well. But the truth is most of them, they're put there for our safety. But it doesn't really make them fun. Now, how many of you have seen the movie Finding Nemo? All right, that's a great movie. So if you guys haven't seen it, I'm going to show a clip here in a little bit. Now, it's not because my kids are 5 and 6, because that actually came out before my kids were born. So I actually watched this as a 20-year-old just because I love the movie. But Finding Nemo, the premise of the movie and the premise of the clip we're going to show is there's this little fish named Nemo. And Nemo was being raised by his overprotective dad. Now, he's overprotective because where he was raised, and his parents experienced a tragedy where they had lost his mother. So his dad took him to the secluded coral reef and began to raise Nemo up in some really overprotective way. He placed a bunch of boundaries, placed a bunch of limits on him to keep him safe. But one day, Nemo had enough of this, right? Nemo had enough, and he rebelled against his dad's overprotective parenting and went past the drop-off and did the unthinkable. He touched the butt, which is actually the boat. So if you would, check this video out real fast.
There's nothing to see. Gather over there. Excuse me, is there anything I can do? I am a scientist, sir. Is there any problem?
You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt things. He isn't a good swimmer, and I just think it's a little too soon for him to be out here unsupervised.
Well, I can assure you, he's quite safe with me.
Look, I'm sure he is. But you have a large glass, and he can get lost, you know, from sight if you're not looking. Now, I'm not saying you're not looking.
Oh, my gosh! Nemo's swimming out the sea!
Nemo! What do you think you're doing? You're gonna get stuck out there, and I'm gonna have to get you before another fish does. Get back here! I said get back here now! Stop! You take one more move, mister. Don't you dare! If you put one fin on that boat, are you listening to me? Don't touch the boat. Nemo!
You touched the butt.
You just pounded your...
All right. How many of us have ever found ourselves in a Nemo situation before, right? Where we've had some limits on us and we're going out past and we keep pushing it, and these boundaries that we have on us, they seem a little bit ridiculous. And then really next thing you know, we respond like Nemo where we push our hand on the butt. We push our hand on the boat. Hopefully it's not a butt, just to throw that out there. Oh, this is Facebook Live. But we do that, right? We push limits, right? We stretch those boundaries. We live on the edge, right? I think we've all been there before. We've been there before, and there's times in our lives where it's difficult to decipher between some of these unnecessary boundaries, these unnecessary boundaries that really limit our freedom, and then a guardrail that's placed us in our lives to keep us from venturing out into unhealthy and dangerous places. And what's crazy, though, is we keep on watching Nemo. What happens next is this little fish actually is captured, and he's separated from his dad, which is why we call it Finding Nemo, right? So this is what happens. It's separated from his dad. And I think the truth is we've been there before. We've been there in our families. We've been there in our relationships. We've been in there in our relationships with our kids or with our spouse, where we pushed the limits, where we pushed the limits. We stretched those boundaries. And if we're honest, we can look back. We can look back at those moments, and we can see that those are probably some of the times that led us astray, right? Those moments where we push those boundaries, those are those moments that really led us further and further from our family. Those are those moments that may have even caused some destruction and some hurt and some pain within our family. For some of us, when we push those boundaries, when we push those limits, really that's the cause to some of our biggest regrets, right? None of us wants unnecessary fences, but the truth is we all need guardrails. We all need boundaries. We all need limits, especially within our families and especially within our relationships, which is really where we're getting the big idea for today, which is this. Every relationship needs a system for staying on course. Every relationship needs a system for staying on course. In our families, we need a plan, right? In our marriages, we need a system. In our parenting style and with our kids, we need a system, right? In our dating relationship, we need some boundaries, right? And these systems and these boundaries, they're limits, they're guardrails that keep us from danger, right? They help us avoid painful situations, right? These boundaries, they keep us from a hazard. Every relationship needs this, right? Think about this. If you're single and dating, there's some limits that you need to set in place, right? You need to set a system. You need to set a guardrail. You need to set some systems in place so that you don't go off course and that you can stay pure in your relationship. But at the same time, you need a system to get to know the person that you're dating, right? To allow you to be real with them. Not just to put on a front until they put a ring on it, right? You need a system that actually allows you to be real with that person that you're dating. So that's not a big surprise on your wedding day, on your marriage, right? You need a system, though, that where you get to know each other. And listen, if you're married, you need some boundaries. And these boundaries, they need to be clear as well, right? Your spouse, you need to know the expectations that they have, and they need to know the expectations that you have of them. And listen, they have to be realistic as well. Next week, just a spoiler alert, we're actually going to go in and we're going to talk about satisfaction and how our relationships and our families can't be the source of our satisfaction because that's unrealistic, right? In our lives, we have to have these boundaries, but they have to be realistic as well. With our children, to lead them, to show them love, to discipline them properly, there has to be a system. Every relationship needs a system for staying on course. And here's why. The truth is this. We don't naturally drift in good directions. We don't naturally drift the right way, right? We don't naturally drift on course. Think about, have you guys ever floated down a river or a creek before on an inner tube or a raft, right? You ever done that? What happens is when you drift, and the drift can be subtle. Depending on the river, sometimes you don't even know that you're actually moving unless you focus on where you came from or if you're focusing on the banks. A few years ago, we did a family trip. We did a camping trip to Missouri, and this is like high class. Like, this is a high-class Missouri trip. We actually had cabins instead of, like, tents. So it was great, though. We were in a park, one of the state parks there in Missouri. And what we did is we spent the days hanging out in the river on rafts and tubes. We spent the evenings picking out leeches and ticks out of our bodies. But we spent the days in the river, basically just hanging out. And what we did is we had tubes, we had floats. And Berkeley at this time was a little bit younger, but she was big enough to have her own raft. So what we did is we got her on a raft and just kind of said, okay, go right there. And then we just all kind of played and hung around. But what would happen is Berkeley kept floating because she actually wasn't strong enough to steer, or she wasn't strong enough to even to swim back. So every once in a while, you look back and then here's my daughter just floating down the river. Great parenting. Again, I'm telling you, we're in this with you. We're still making mistakes. This is things we're doing. But she's floating down the river because she was kept continually drifting away. So I have to go get her and bring her back. And I did this over and over again. Because the truth is, we don't naturally drift in the right direction, right? And the same is true in our lives. We don't naturally drift in the right direction. In our lives, there's a lot of things that are tugging at us. There's a lot of undercurrents in our lives that are pulling us, and they're pulling us in each and every way. And a lot of times they're pulling us in the opposite direction of where we really should be. Right? Family life is busy. Relationships are busy. And there's a lot of things that are going on all the time. And it's easy. When these things are going on, it's easy for us to stop paying attention to the things that matter most. And before you know it, we've drifted into trouble. And instead of being intentional about our family, what we've done is we've settled for casual. Instead of actually rowing, we settled for just floating and getting by, right? Instead of really allowing some of these things in our lives to focus and to be our focus, we've allowed compromises, right? We've compromised and things in our time where our time management has gone more towards work instead of our family, right? We compromised even our morals in our lives and in our families where we place gratification over purity. And what it does is it leads to strained relationships and even leads to sin within our relationships. Listen, there's some lies that we're holding on to between our spouses all because we've drifted in the wrong direction, right? There's some cheating that may have gone on because we've drifted in the wrong direction. There's some neglect that maybe we've done with our kids because we've allowed ourselves to drift in the wrong direction. Listen, if you're dating here right now, maybe you've allowed some things and some impurities come in, some sex before marriage, all because you were drifting in the wrong direction. And the truth is it can happen to each and every one of us. It can happen to each and every family. But the good news is this, is that we can be intentional about taking steps and implementing habits in our families that will keep us on course. But we need a system. We need to be intentional about the guardrails. We need to be intentional about the boundaries that we place, because every relationship needs a system for staying on course. So today's message really doesn't have a central narrative or a central passage of Scripture that we're going to dig into, but rather we're going to be jumping into several passages of Scripture from the life of David that really we can apply to our life to help put systems in place. Because in spite of David's failures, David was celebrated as a man after God's own heart. And again, just so we know this is one of those things I love about the Bible, that you see failures in people. And David had some major failures. Last week we looked at it. We talked about some of the failures that David had. And within David's family, he had rape, he had deceit, he had murder, and he had lying. Like, those are some big ones. I'm just going to throw that out there, right? And this was in his family, and not only within his family, it was done by his family to his family. Like, talk about dysfunction. David's family was a little bit messed up. And if we look at it, we can honestly say, wow, I'm doing pretty good. Like, my kids just kicked a hole in the wall. But they didn't have rape and murder. We're good. I'm doing something right. I look at that. But this is where David asked. But David was still known as a man after God's own heart. We hear so many stories about how incredible David was because he chased after God. Listen, through all his failures, he continued to chase after God. Listen, I want to tell you, I want to challenge you. That's the difference maker right there. Right? In our lives, we may have some failures. There's some of us that we're carrying some things with our family that are heavier than anybody even imagines and even knows the weight of. Right? There's some things that we may have done. There's some things that our parents have done. There's some things that our parents have done to us. There's some things that, whatever, right? There's some things that are so heavy. But understand this. God wants you to move forward. He's not defining you by that. He's defining you by how you chase after him. And David continues to chase after God. He continued to let God help him become better. And you see this because after each one of David's mistakes and through David's mistakes, he sets up these systems to become better. And the first system I want to talk about today is a willingness to change. In our lives, we need to set up a system. We need to set up a boundary and a guardrail in our lives that allows us to be willing to change. Right? In our relationships, we need to be willing to change. If you're dating somebody right now, you need to be willing to change in that relationship. If you're married, you need to be willing to change in your marriage. In your parenting style, you need to be willing to change. Listen, the truth is, if in a dating relationship, our dating relationship should not be the same on the first date as it is on our wedding day. Right? In our marriages, they shouldn't be the same on our wedding day as they are on our deathbed. And listen, you're not going to make your marriage last to your deathbed if you're not willing to change in some things. Be willing to change. With our kids, our relationship with our kids should be different from the day we take them home from the hospital to the day they graduate, right? We have to be willing to learn things. We have to be willing to grow. We have to be willing to move past their mistakes and even move past our own mistakes as well. Listen, I look at my kids, and there's some things that obviously when they're babies, there's some things that have already changed because I had to move past some things. I had to move past the fact that they pooped, peed, and puked on me so many times as a baby, right? Let's just be honest. And I had to forgive them for that. Okay, maybe it's a different parenting style, but I did. I had to move past. I had to move past that they kicked a hole in the wall, right? I had to move past some things. I did take them in there today and said, here, you see that hole? It's fixed now. It's getting in the process of patched up. I said, you need to go thank Seth D'Amato for fixing that and patching that drywall up, and then that never can happen again. You need to change to make that not happen. Yep, I forgive you and I love you. All right, go on, right? I had to change. They have to change. There's some changing that has to go on. Mistakes are temporary unless we refuse to change. And let me say this too. Be willing to change, and one way to do this is this challenge here is to not let your family or your past relationships not use them as a crutch for your mistakes. Don't use your family and your past relationships as a crutch for your mistakes. I've heard it once said that one generation's appetite often leads to the next generation's addiction. Those are some strong words. That means that we're taking on things from our generation before us, right? But the truth is, it doesn't have to be that way. If we're willing to change, it doesn't have to be that way. Our family of origin may explain us, but it doesn't excuse us from making the same mistakes. It doesn't excuse us from turning that mistake that could be temporary into permanent. Listen, you don't have to be your parents. Right? You don't have to be that grumpy person that maybe your dad was. Right? You don't have to have the same addictions that maybe your mom had. Right? You don't have to be abusive because your grandpa was. You don't have to fall into lust or pornography or adultery just because one of your parents did. Right? You can change, but you have to be willing to change. It has to be a boundary. It has to be a system that you put in place and are intentional about. Listen, David made some big mistakes with his family. David made some big mistakes with his kids and with his wife, but he was willing to change. And that's why we're talking about him. That's why we read about him in the Bible. Listen, what's incredible about it is he wasn't just willing to change just to fix the mistake. He was willing to change to fix himself. I think one of the most famous mistakes that he has is his affair with this lady named Bathsheba. And this mistake, there wasn't a way of life because he was eventually willing to change. And we see this in 2 Samuel 12, 13. Again, this passage of scripture is after David's sin. This is after the prophet Nathan actually confronted him about it. And just so you know, it wasn't like David had the goodness out of his heart was like, you know what? I sinned. I'm going to change. No, Nathan confronted him and straight called him out on it. Says, dude, this you did this and this is wrong. Now, David, being a king, he was at the highest authority. He could have said, well, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to change the standards. We're going to mix things up and we're going to go ahead and change the standards. And it's okay for me to sleep with whoever I want because I'm the king. Right? He could have done that. But instead, what David did is he changed, right? He changed and became willing to change. And he did this here in 2 Samuel 12, 13. It says, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. David really became willing to change by first confessing where he was, by confessing that he had sinned against the Lord. Listen, in our lives, to be willing to change, we have to confess the areas that we need to change in. And this requires humility. Understand this again. David, he was messing up. And when he was messing up, when he was doing these things, he knew what he was doing was wrong. It wasn't like it was a shock to him. He knew that he was going against God. He knew he was doing was wrong. But he was just too deep into it. Listen, for some of us, we're unwilling to change just because we're too deep into it. Because we're too stubborn, because we're too bullheaded. Maybe we're not doing something like David. Maybe we're not deep ingrained into sin, but we may be deep ingrained into our own way of thinking. But let me challenge you this. Let me challenge you to be willing to confess that. Have some humility and be willing to change and do that, right? And to do that, we have to give up our pride. We have to give up our position. We have to give up our reputation or even what we think our reputation is. We have to be willing to lose the fight to not lose the relationship. And all starts with humility. Think about it, in your life right now. And your family relationships, is there an area where you've been selfish and not willing to change? Is there an area where you've held on to where you're so ingrained, but you need to confess it and show some humility and humble yourself to be willing to change? Listen, if I'm speaking to you right now, I want to challenge you this week, do it. Put a system in your life where you're willing to change. The second thing is to embrace God's wisdom. Embrace God's wisdom. In our families, in our relationships, in our parenting, right, we need to embrace God's wisdom. There's times where we have to have wisdom. And it can't just be conventional wisdom. It can't just be the things of this culture. But it needs to be a little bit deeper. There's some things that we need to go a little bit deeper, right? We just can't rely on the culture, but we have to rely on God's wisdom. Listen, if you're single right now and you're looking to date, listen, move past the pressure of just dating to date. Right, move past the pressure of the culture saying that you have to date around. Move past the pressure of saying that you have to try things out, that you have to have sex before. Move past that. Move past that and look to the wisdom. Look to what's in the Bible. Look to the wisdom of God. Right? I don't want to challenge you to do that. It's not about what others are doing around us, but it's about what God is calling us to do. Right? It's not about a fad. It's not about a trend. It's not about what everybody else is doing, but it's about what God is calling us to do and embracing his wisdom. That's what's going to allow us to stay on course for our life. David loved God, but he didn't always embrace wisdom. And what's crazy is his son Solomon saw this, right? Listen, our kids see a lot in our lives that we never realize. Our kids see all the things that we think that we're hiding, that we're covering up well. So here's David, and again, he chased after God with everything he had. But David made some really dumb choices. David did some things that were relying on the culture of that time and not necessarily God's wisdom. And Solomon saw this, and it really got to the core of who Solomon was, that he wanted to change his family lineage, right? He wanted to change what his dad was. So in the core of who Solomon was, he wanted God's wisdom with everything, so much so that he even asked for it in a dream here in 1 Kings 3, 4 through 15. I love this passage of scripture. Really, this should be our heart as well. Listen, if we want to be successful in life, if we want to be successful in our family relationships, we need to chase after God's wisdom like Solomon does here. It says this. It says, the king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant. my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You've continued his great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne through this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, but I'm only a child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern his great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So he said to him, since you've asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke and realized that had been a dream. Here's Solomon. He saw the mistakes of his father, right? So in his life, what he did is he put a system for embracing God's wisdom and he chased after it with everything he had, right? He embraced it. I love verse 7 too here, where it says Solomon didn't know how to carry out his duties. Here's Solomon, he's the king, and he's overwhelmed. I think many of us in our lives, in our families, in our relationships, in our marriages, we get to this point where we're completely overwhelmed, where we don't know how to carry out our duties, where we don't know how to do the next thing, where we don't know the next step, right? We get so frustrated, we get overwhelmed that many times what we do is we do the wrong thing, right? Or we even give up. There's many divorces. There's many people who have cheated on their spouses. There's many kids that are parentless because of this point, because they got to this point where they were overwhelmed, but they didn't embrace God's wisdom. They looked elsewhere. Listen, in our lives, we need to embrace God's wisdom. If you're here today and you don't know what's next, you feel this point, I want to challenge you, chase after wisdom. Chase after wisdom. Don't just cling to whatever makes you feel better. Don't just cling to what somebody else is doing. Don't just look at what everybody else is doing. Guess what? It's not working. We need to chase after the standard that Solomon set in place. He asked for a discerning heart. He asked how to distinguish between right and wrong. What if in our lives, in each situation where we got to that point where we just wanted to quit, what if we whacked up and said, you know what, God, give me discernment. Give me wisdom. Let me embrace your wisdom in this, right? What if we slowed down enough to extinguish right and wrong? Maybe right now you need to do that in your marriage. Maybe you're at a point where maybe you feel like you just want to give up. Listen, instead of doing that, embrace wisdom. Maybe with your kids, maybe you feel like a complete failure. Understand this. You're not a failure. Embrace God's wisdom and let him walk you through it. And embracing wisdom, part of that is actually being honest with your kids about where you are. Part of that is inviting them in into the process as well. Set up a system for embracing wisdom in your life. Next thing is to form a dependence on God and not drivenness. We need a system and we need a guard around a boundary of forming a dependence on God and not drivenness in our life. We need to depend on him, not anyone else's drive, not our own drive as well. Listen, when we depend on drivenness, what happens is somebody ends up getting driven over, right? And the people first in line are those closest to us. Oftentimes we run over our family because of other people's drive or our own drive, because of our own desires, our own selfish wants. What happens is we leave others out. There's a lot of tensions in families that have come because of a reliance on drivenness and not a reliance on God. And when we follow that drivenness, what happens is we tend to drift. In fact, David was messed up in many ways, but this is the one thing that he got right, right? He relied on God through everything. He had a dependence on God like no other. In fact, that you look at David, he had all these accomplishments, he had all these military victories, he had all these things, but he continued to depend on God and even give God the credit through it all, which is the same thing we need to do in our lives. 1 Chronicles 29:10-14 is a perfect example of this. It says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. If you look at David over and over again, he gives everything to God. He gives God credit for everything. He gives him all praise. He gives him all accolades. He gives him all the glory. Listen, God is the driver behind everything that David did. Listen, when we get to this place in our relationships, when we get to this place in our families, we'll begin to move in the right direction. I want to challenge you in your relationships. Don't just chase after what you want. Don't just chase after what your spouse wants. Don't just chase after what your child wants, right? Don't let little Johnny really determine what you're doing and what your life is going. Don't let your wife determine where you're going. Guys, wives, don't get too mad, right? And wives, don't let your husband determine where you're going, but focus in on God. Focus in on God. Let God be the driver behind it all. What happens is when we let God be the driver behind it all, we end up moving in unity, right? When each family member is going one way or the other, you felt it before. Listen, baseball season is here. Like, I'm not saying baseball is bad, but it's the prime example of how you feel like you're getting torn in every single way. One kid's over here at one end of town, one kid's over here, and the next thing you know, you're like, man, there's a lot of tension there because of it, right? Because they're driving each way. But when we allow God to lead us, he's going to take us all in the same direction. There's going to be some unity. Form a dependence on God and not drivenness. And the last thing is to focus our family on giving and not just getting. Focus our family on giving and not just receiving. I think a lot of times in our lives, I think we feel cheated or we feel gypped, not because we drew the short straw, but because we have the wrong mindset. Right? When we focus on getting, what happens is we always want more. Therefore, we're always going to fall short. We're always going to feel like we need something else. But when we focus on giving, it keeps us grateful for what we have. And it'll keep us our focus on God no matter what the circumstances. So think about it in your life. What's a way that you can give more to your family? But not only that, what's a way that you can give more as a family? What's a way that you can give more in your relationships and with your relationships? And the truth is, giving always doesn't make sense. I want to challenge you to give even when it doesn't make sense as well. You see this in 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 3, where you see David actually give when it doesn't make sense. Now, this is a little bit different because here's David, and he actually gives to one of Saul's descendants that was still living. Now, this is different because back in that time, well, obviously, Saul hated David, and Saul was the king before David, and Saul hated David and actually tried to kill David multiple times. So, reason number one, you probably wouldn't show kindness to somebody that tried to murder you multiple times, right, or their family. Just this is kind of common sense there. But not only that, during that time period, though, what would happen is when a new king would come that wasn't a family member, they would actually destroy everything of the previous king, including like all their possessions, all their belongings, but including all their family. But you see this in 2 Samuel 9, chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. You see that where David actually goes and does something different. He's trying to show kindness to one of Saul's descendants. So check this out. It says, David asks, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? At your service, he replied, and the king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? And Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan, and he is lame in both feet. So here's David, and he goes out of his way, right? He goes out of his way, does something that doesn't necessarily make sense. In our families, I think we need to go out of our way to show kindness. In our families, we need to go out of our way to give to others, to give to each other, right? Instead of just focusing on getting, we need to focus on giving. Focus on giving more than receiving, because giving smashes the elephant of getting. So set up a system, set up a boundary in our lives where we're focused in on giving. Every relationship needs a system for staying on course. Imagine in our relationships. Imagine in our marriages, in our families, in our parenting. Imagine if we were intentional about placing systems in place, about placing boundaries that were there to guide and direct us, right? Imagine if in our lives we were willing to change, right? Instead of just allowing fights to linger on, allowing resentment to stay there, what if we were able to change and to move past them? Like, what if in our lives that we weren't defined by the missteps of someone before us, right? What if we were willing to change? Imagine what could happen in our relationships. Imagine what would happen in our relationships if we actually embrace God's wisdom. If we placed a guideline and a system for embracing God's wisdom, not just the wisdom of the culture, but God's wisdom. Listen, we would look different, and we'd look different in a good way, right? We would feel different in a good way. We would be different in a good way. What if we depended on God? What if we looked to his plan for our lives? instead of our families, instead of our own, instead of each other's, right? What if we looked to his plan, and what if we focused on giving and not giving? Truth is, our families would begin to move in the right direction. Instead of just drifting through life, our lives would have purpose. And it starts with being intentional about the systems we place. The ultimate system for staying on course is allowing God to be God and inviting him in. Listen again, in our families, we will mess up. In our relationships, we will have failures. But each one of those failures, each one of those mess ups is redeemable by the power of Christ. God is our perfect Father. God loved us so much that he sent his Son for each and every one of us to die on a cross, and be risen again to give us new life so that we could connect with him, so that we could actually have a perfect parent. And he's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to trust him and to turn things over to him. So as we close, I want you to think about your family. I want you to think about your relationships. I want you to think about where you need his redeeming power. What you need his help with right now in your life to set up a system to keep you on course. Do you need to be willing to change? Do you need to be willing to embrace his wisdom? Do you need to depend on him? And do you need to focus on giving? And what steps can you take this week to make it happen? If you would, pull out the response card in the seat back in front of you. Maybe you're here today. And maybe for you, maybe God's really working on something. Maybe God's one of those points, one of those systems, one of those guardrails is something that you need to put in place. Let me challenge you. Write that down and then begin to put that in action. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've had a messed up family, or maybe you had a great family, but you didn't realize that you could have a perfect family and a perfect father. Maybe you're here today and you didn't know that, but it starts with making a commitment to follow Christ. If you're here today and you've never made that commitment, I want to give you that opportunity. What you can do is you can checkmark that first box on your response card that says, I want to make a commitment to follow Christ. If you're here and you want to do that today, mark that box and then believe that God gave his Son for you. And then to receive that, receive his Son as your Lord and Savior and receive his forgiveness. Maybe you're here today and God's speaking something completely different. Listen, I want to challenge you to write that down. Write that down and live it out. And there's also a place for prayer requests where we'd love to partner with you in prayer. Listen, I take these cards seriously. It's a way for me to really journey with you through your spiritual walk as you grow closer to God. And I pray for each one of these cards. So I want to challenge you to fill that out. If you're a first-time guest, fill it out completely. If you've been here before, fill out your name, fill out your prayer request, and I'll be partnering with you in prayer. If you would, take this moment to fill that out and get any tithes or offerings ready, and I'll be up in just a moment to explain the next steps.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. He's gonna break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
If the usher would please come forward. Dearly Father God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for your presence. God, we thank you for pushing us, God, pushing us in our relationships to help us become more like you, and to put some guardrails, to put some boundaries, God, so that we won't drift off course, but we can stay on course. And God, we pray that you help us. Help us in our families. Help us in our relationships. Help us with our children. Help us in our marriages, God, and guide us through it all. God, we also thank you for this time where we can give back. Use this as a time of offering, and as a time of worship to place you first in every area of our life, including our finances. We pray that what's given is multiplied so that others experience your power and your love. And God, right now we give it to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the ushers begin to pass the baskets, I want to just challenge you. Maybe you're here today, and maybe for you, maybe God's tugging on your heart. Maybe for you, there's something that you need to change. Maybe there's some type of chain that's really been holding you down. Listen, what I want to challenge you, I want to challenge you to allow God to release that, allow God to set you free with that. And I'll say this, if you want to and you want to do that as a symbol of saying, God, I want you to set me free, I want to open the front up to you. On this side here, if you come up here, we will have somebody be willing to pray with you if you come on this side. If you come to the side with the cross, That signifies that you just want to give it to God, but you don't want anybody to pray with you. We can open them both up. But as we sing this last song, I want to challenge you. If God's stirring in your heart, I want to challenge you to come down front and to offer yourself up. Let's continue to worship.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.